Pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, good morning there, folks. Good morning. Got my war uniform on today. You can see right there, intolerant. Jesus said, what did he say there? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. You don't get there through Buddha. You don't get there through Muhammad. You don't get through some Shinto shrine. And you don't get there because you just happened to say yourself a prayer when you were 6 years old. I'm going to war today. I got my war hat on, my camo hat. I've been troubled. I was troubled in my sleep last night. I was troubled all afternoon yesterday. My wife and I got in a discussion. I'm going to say this publicly. I still love my wife. I'm not getting brownie points. I just tell you, man, he who findeth a wife findeth a good thing. Sometimes she's just the only sounding board I have, and she has to sit there and listen to the stuff. She doesn't get mad. She hears me moan and groan and complain. And it's crazy because I'm an optimist. I'm the eternal optimist. I really am. I always think something good's about getting ready to happen. Yet every time I see something, I see the broken part of it. So, man, that shouldn't be happening. That doesn't look right. And it comes again from years of training and watching a football play. If you can imagine, as a football coach, you run the film, you put the film on the screen, you're looking at the film. This may be hard for you to understand. It's like a mechanic. You know, a mechanic can walk up and put his ear on the and hear the engine and hear something. I don't hear it. I don't hear it, but a mechanic can hear it. Well, I'm a football coach. I can put on the film and I watch the film, and mistakes jump right out of that. They just jump out at me. I just see them. My wife's a great cook. A great cook, and sometimes she'll apologize when she gives me something because she says, you know, it doesn't have enough of this or doesn't have enough of that. I don't notice it, but she's sensitive to it. That happens to me a lot. I watch the films. I'm try to balance these two in your mind. I'm the eternal optimist, and I'm constantly see things that are broken, and I constantly think, boy, think how good we would be. I'm as a team now. Think how good we would be if we weren't doing this. And I used to tell our guys, listen. I turn on that film, and you guys are doing a great job 90% of the time. And I'm sorry if it seems like I'm negative, but it's my job to point out when you're not doing it right. If we're going to get great, you're going to have to get better. Let me say that again. The church is going to be great. You're going to have to get better. Talking to you, the guys that are looking at me right now, women that are watching us right now. But if the church is going to be great, you're going to have to get better. You have to get better. It's not that our message is wrong. It's not that our belief system doesn't work. It's not that we're not speaking the truth. It's that we're not playing very well. That's why I put on my war suit here this morning. I want to touch in real quick before I get to the big Rich made it back home. Big Rich, he won't want to hear this, but he was the MVP down there in Texas, down in Rockport. Went down there. He and Jim Bob, they drove home probably 20-something hours. Jim Kraft's driving home 20-something hours. I don't know if Dale's going to join us today. Another weekend coming up. I'm going to go back down there in about 8 days. Rich, just fill us in if you can, man, how the whole thing ended up for you. Because I think last we talked, spoke with you, Rich, you were in Rockport, and then you ended up going over with Chris Keys and Dale. How'd the whole thing end up for you, Rich? Because you were down there, about 6 days? I can't hear you there, bud. You're still muted.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, Dave, we were down there about 8 days, man.
8 days.
I'm going to start off by saying, man, it's a blessing to be hooked up with you guys. I finally feel like I'm serving the Lord, you know, and I know a lot of people say stuff like that. I've been in church my whole life, but boots on the ground's where it's at. You keep preaching it, and, man, it's so true. Your faith grows every time you go.
Amen.
you meet like-minded brothers and sisters that you'll have forever. But, you know, the only thing I want to say, and I commented to Carla, is I don't want to say this in a negative way. I'm amazed at how Americans today, you know, I know disaster is a bad thing and losing your stuff is a bad thing. But a month after the thing, after the hurricane, I was shocked at how people were still in shock. They didn't know what step to take. They just didn't, what do I do with this stuff? You know, and Pass the Salt did give them hope. We started somewhere and we started making things happen, you know, and then, and like Ray said, you could see the hope come back in these people's faces. Someone gave them a hand up. Pass the Salt gave them a hand up. People we never even met, you know, and when that gal walked up and said, you know, it's a shame people's out tearing statues down over racism. You know, when we're down helping a just an awesome black guy, Jeff, and with his Mexican wife, rebuild their home. Yep. You know, they're tearing down a statue and we're tearing down a house to help these people.
Amen. Amen. And they're lying to us, Big Rich. They're lying to us about what's really going on in America. You don't know that till you get out, till you see it. And, you know, it's like being shell-shocked. I was never in the service. But those people are shell-shocked, aren't they, Rich? They look out at that house, and there's just trees everywhere and junk everywhere. And it's the man and his wife, and that's it. And where do you begin? I mean, you don't have a chainsaw. You can't cut up those logs. You don't have a skid. You can't pull the logs off. You just sit there and say, What can I do? What can I do? So you went down there and you gave him a little bit of hope. You cut it up, gave him a little bit of hope. And they say, hey, maybe there's a chance now. Maybe we can bounce back. And that story could be played over and over and over. And the truth is, we as great as your efforts were down there, serving 3,000 meals, whatever it was we served, they need it again today. They'll need it again tomorrow. And we look at what's going on over. Rich, you won't believe this. I had people ask me, are you guys going to Puerto Rico? So that shows us that we must be doing a pretty good job. That's why I got to get a rowboat first, but we'll see what happens. Yeah, let's go if there's a way that we can do it. I want to salute you, Rich, because you did go above and beyond the call of duty. And I got my war uniform on today. I want to speak to all of you out there. We all could do more, and we're all finding excuses and reasons not to do it. That's what I'm going to dive into here. Just being honest, I've been gone the last 4 weeks. I've been so stinking tired, worn out. This stuff's on my mind 24 hours a day. And I don't complain. Rich came down and gave 8 hours. He doesn't complain. But there's still a lot of us that we're really not living out our faith. That's what I want to talk to you about today. We're really not. Really not living out our faith. We can say what we want to. I've got a couple scriptures. I got some great things I want to get in. I got to do this real quick. I put it up here as a note to myself. Hey, folks, we're going to do a boot camp in, two things. We're having an event in Marshfield, Wisconsin on October 26th. That's a Thursday night. Rob Pugh of the Wisconsin Christian News has opened up Salt and Light Brigade Ministry Resource Center up there, and they're having weekly meetings and Rob's really doing something to try to make a difference in that community. And so we're going to go have a grand opening type thing on the 26th, Thursday evening, the 26th. I'm going to speak. Greg Evenson, that great warrior, is going to come out of semi-retirement. And Greg Evenson is going to speak. Have a guy that's going to perform some music up there, Randy. I can't remember his last name. I'm sorry, man. Maybe my computer will work. Randy's really, really well known up in that area. Randy Stonehill. That's on Thursday night, the 26th. And then on Friday, the 27th, we're going to go down. We're going to have a boot camp down in the Milwaukee area. We're going to do a boot camp with the men and women, whoever shows on Friday night. Saturday, we're going to go to the streets. We're going to go to the abortion clinic. Some of you have never done anything like that. We're going to take you out to the streets. Saturday afternoon, complete the boot camp, and then you'll be free and done to go home if you want to. All the information can be found on the website at CoachDaveLive.com. We'd like some of you guys, if you can't fly in, man. And listen, if nothing else, it's a great reunion. Like Rich said, it's, you know, getting to rub shoulders with guys where stuff really, really matters to them. It's a
as we say, Chad Estes calls it a church camp for grown-ups, church camp for men. That's the 26th is that in Marshfield, Wisconsin. The 27th and 28th is in the Milwaukee area. Matt Tuella, Jason Storms, Pete LaBarbera, I think. I got to firm up with Pete. I've miscommunicated with Pete. Greg Evenson. Good men, good women. Just encourage you to go to our website, sign up, come be part of it. You'll be glad you did. So I want to dig in this one. Again, the reason I'm in battle regalia. I wrote today at newswithyous.com a commentary that just rolled out of me yesterday. It came off of the article I read yesterday by Kurt Schliester, where he talked about they hate us. If you guys didn't catch that one, that's a must hear program, in my honest opinion. It was very, very powerful yesterday. The enemy hates us. Scripture says you'll be hated of all men. And they say, you know what, Coach, you can't fight hate with hate. I agree with you. But you can fight hate with love if we really understood what love meant. We haven't really got that. Jared pulled that commentary up. I wasn't going to do that, but pull it up because I think there's some incredible points in that I need to make and to where I'm heading today, okay? Excuse me. Clear that throat a little bit there, Coach. Quit coughing on the news. Titled, Stop Conceding the Truth to the Lying Left. And it came out of the article yesterday of Kurt Schliester, where Kurt Schliester put just four words in there, jumped out at me, and I couldn't believe it. And it as soon as I read it, I had to write on it. And those four words he wrote were I can't find it. The left hates us. He told us the left hates us. But he told us that we have to stop conceding the truth. Stop conceding the truth. Now, conceding the truth means this, that when you're having an argument with somebody, the very first premise that you come to as a group, in other words, let's say somebody says you are a hater, or that the words judging, you're not the judge. Let's say that. Christians are not the judge. If we let that premise stand, we then begin to argue from the premise that Christians aren't supposed to judge. Well, Christians are supposed to judge. That very first lie we have to take on. Republicans are racist. We have to take on that argument. We have to stop that. We cannot let that lie become the underpinning of the debate. And that's where we are all the time in Christian issues, because we constantly concede their lies as truth. Because we concede their lies as truth, we have no firm foundation upon which to stand and which to be able to win the argument. Am I making sense out there to anybody out there? And the reason it's happening is because Christianity... Go ahead.
Yeah, many Christians say that, brother. Many Christians tell us that we're not supposed to judge. There's a problem.
Dale, that's why I've written this commentary to Christians. See, we need a reformation in Christianity. We need another reformation in Christianity. Mm-hmm. I don't know what happened to us that somewhere along the line, we took that mean old guy in the Old Testament, that mean old God in the Old Testament, and we turned him into Mr. Rogers in the New Testament, when in fact he says, I change not. I change not. I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. If I was an old crabby man in the Old Testament, I still am. I still have a nature. I still have part of my nature that is an old crabby man who lays down rules and gets mad and tears things up and kills people. I'm still that way. However, I now have an element of me that now provides grace, an opportunity to flee from my wrath that is still available to all people. And what we have done is we've taken that wrath and that mercy and that grace of God, and we have turned it into thou shall not judge. So everywhere we go, my greatest pushback comes from piously pew-sitting, puke-filled Christians. Somebody say amen. They're my biggest opposition.
Wow.
They're the biggest opposition. They're the biggest opposition. Everywhere I go, don't coach. You have to love them. Don't judge. No, no, no. You get more flies. If with honey, all that malarkey, that all it has done, hey, listen, fellas, this ain't hard to figure out. As a football coach, if I went out on the football field, if I put a team out on the football field that thought it was loving to allow the other team to score touchdowns, we would never have won. If I went into the locker room and I taught my guys that their job was to tackle the other team but not hurt them, tackle them but not hurt them, we would have been steamrolled. Because the game of football was designed to inflict pain on the other part. We used to have a saying that we would use at halftime. When we saw the other team beginning to get crumpled a little bit, we would say, hey, boys, here we go. It's time to kill the will, baby. Kill the will. Make him quit. Kill the will. Christian boys, kill the will. We have to love them, encourage them. Don't be mean to them. Be tolerant. Share love with them. Okay, cool. See, here's your problem, dudes. You don't even know what love means. You don't even have any understanding. We're no longer taught what love means. And so when one of those prissy pew sitters said to me, love conquers hate. Yeah, it does. What does love look like? Let's start right there. What does love look like? Real love. What does it look like? Are you to tell me that God, who is love, God is love? That's what those prissy pew sitters always tell me. Yes, Robert, a lie is a lie, even when the pastor speaks it. Yes, Robert. Huh? Love, 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 love. That's what everyone tells. Love, love, love. Well, what is it? What does love look like? Because if God is love, that same old mean old dude in the Old Testament running around killing people, destroying cities, is he not love? Was he not loving? What's going on here, huh? What's going on? See, he says, if you love me, you will love the things that I love, and you'll hate the things that I hate. God hates a lot of stuff. And you know, that ain't being told to us in the church. It just isn't being told to us. And see, we're losing in this cultural war because we have taught that to love our enemies means to accept everything they do. Somebody say amen for me. Come on.
Amen.
Come on.
Amen.
You gotta get this. You gotta get this. You gotta get this. Love does not mean accept. Love does not mean tolerate. Love does not mean bend over backwards to let them have their way. Love does not mean stop standing up for what's true. Love does not mean bend over and let them roll over the top of you. Love Amen. Does not mean let them defy your Lord. That is not love.
Amen.
Coach?
Yes.
Christians, or in name only, have to stop going to the world for a morality checkup. They need to open their Bibles and believe every word from the first letter to the last letter. That's where they're going to find morality, and that's where they're going to find their guts to stand up and go against all of this stuff, to become Gideons.
Hey, Coach.
So stay with me, Sarah. That's why I got my shirt on. So I'm in my article now. I'm going somewhere. Stay with me. Second paragraph, God is love and Jesus is the truth. So would I be wrong to state that the greatest expression of love is truth? If God is love and Jesus is truth and they're the same, is the greatest expression of love truth? The answer is yes. Love conquers hate, the piously passive pew sitters tell us, but they miss the point. See, love fights, love defends, love protects, love gets involved, love engages lies with the word of truth. That is what Jude meant when he wrote that we should earnestly contend for the faith. That is love. Can't you see that love conquers hate by confronting it, not loving it? Love is a person who destroys hate with truth. The truth sounds like hate to those who hate the truth. And contending for the truth is the greatest expression of love. Jesus is truth. Defending truth is the greatest example of love. Oh, my goodness. Never concede their lies is what Kurt Schlichter said. Go on down, Jared. But that's what we've done, my friend. We've conceded their lies. We've accepted their lying precepts. We've compromised away our authority because we refuse to stand up and speak the truth. The left's entire plan of attack is centered around lies and our desire to appear Christian by being tolerant. We have yielded the solid moral ground upon which our only sure foundation can be built. The American culture war is being lost because of lies. The left's lies. They are incapable of winning if they are forced to deal with the truth. America's future has been destroyed not because the left has taken the low road, but because we have abandoned the high road. There is no high road anymore. That was the path that the church was supposed to guard. The lying left has told us that there's a separation between God and morality. They've steered the ship of state into moral anarchy by simply lying to us that there was a separation between the church and state. The church simply rolled over and accepted the lordship of government over the lordship of Christ. The devil told Eve that if she would simply shrug off that moral law, she'd be like God. And today, the American church fears the government far more than they fear Almighty God. Somebody say amen. The lying left told us that we could have sex without consequence. They fought for the right of a woman to control her right to reproduction. They told us that sex was for pleasure and a child was a burden. The church accepted that lie, lowered the bar, yielded control of the sexual urges to the pill. Fornication is now commonplace. Church members proudly shack up. Personal morality undergirds corporate morality. Right is right and wrong is wrong. Jehovah is not at all inclusive. He's the one who originally stated the premise that it is my way or the highway. Wide is the path, but narrow is the gate. Despite what the left tells you, few find it. The lying left told us that the fetus was not a person. The argument was so absurd that at first no one took them seriously. On January 22, 1973, the Supreme Court ruled in defiance of the supreme being that an unborn baby was simply a blob of tissue. We knew better then. We know better now. Nearly 70 million lives later, the lie continues to carry the day. Heck, today we fund the murder of the innocent in a feeble attempt to be compassionate. Pastors refuse to broach the subject. Politicians cast lots with the lies of innocent babies as a payoff to the continued political power. The church has believed the lie. Babies die as the church holds fundraisers for meaningless causes. The lying left told us that a man can marry a man. They said that the Constitution guarantees the freedom from discrimination. They said any two adults can make a family. They told us that love has no gender, that holding fast to the standard of biblical marriage is hateful. They indoctrinate our children in this lie in government schools where your mandatory tax dollars support their lying. They told us that no one chooses their gender. They told us that God made them that way. They tell us we shouldn't judge people. Christians don't even read their Bible they claim to follow. They let the lying left tell them what the Bible says. I could go on. You have to understand the disaster of letting lies go unchallenged. Instead of agreeing that there's a separation between the church and the state, we should invest our energy in challenging that lie. As soon as you acknowledge that a woman has the right to choose to murder her baby, the battle's already been lost. We strike out before we even reach first base. Racism is a made-up issue. Feminism is a lie that only gives men the right to be irresponsible. Man-made climate change is a fraud. Micro-revolution is as phony as a $3 bill. The left created the generation gap. Large families are a blessing, not a curse. Everything the left does destroys what is good. They use lies to create a crisis when none existed. They create it, market it, promote it, force us to pay for it, only to watch it destroy us. We proudly partner in the suicide of moral values. Instead of opposing the lies of the left, our churches have adopted them, endorsed them, and Christianized them. We've ignored God's command to have nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship have righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion have light with darkness? We must shake off the lies of the left. We must oppose them, expose them, and destroy them. We must stop trying to be nicer than Jesus. Only the truth can make us free. And it's time to stop conceding the truth. The lying left. Have you ever thought about that? Huh? Have you ever thought about that? Everything they do is based on a lie, and we adopt it. Can't be judgmental. Not being very Christ-like. You can't force your morality on people. Lie, 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 lie. Lies! The church adopts. Church doesn't oppose them. The salt. You are the salt of the earth. But when the salt stops opposing lies, it is good for nothing except to be cast out and trodden under the foot of men. The church has stopped fighting lies and has Christianized the lies. So I'm going to go somewhere I don't really want to go, but I'm going to.
Amen, Coach. Go.
I'm going, man. I'm going to go. I had this conversation with my wife last night, yesterday. Couldn't get away from it. Hey guys, listen. I'm talking to me now. For the most part, we're phonies. For the most part, we're phonies. I got asking Michelle yesterday. We took her out to dinner last night. And as we're down there, you know, I'm railing back and forth in the car. I don't even know how she puts up with me. I'm going one side, the other. And, yeah. She just keeps loving me. I said, you know what the problem is? Jared, here's a problem. Hold up there for you, for me. Hey, fellas. We're losing our kids because our kids know that we don't even believe what we say we believe. Our kids know we're phonies. Our kids know we are phonies. Can I give you an example? How'd I say this? Being cautious. I don't want to be cautious. I don't want to hurt somebody. We have friends. Hey, if this is you, if the shoe fits, wear it, all right? We have friends. I have a lot of friends. I have friends who have four children, raised in a Christian home, Christian environment. Four children living in sin. They know better. And I said to Michelle, as we're having this conversation, why did the parents let that go on, you think? Hey, I'm not holier than thou. I got issues in my own life with my own children. Thank you, Jesus. Why did they let that go on? And my sweet, loving wife said, well, honey, the kids know how they feel. The kids know that mom and dad think it's wrong. No crap! The kids know how the parents feel, and they poke their finger right in the eyes of the parents. To hell with your values, mom and dad. Four kids shacking up, coming home for dinner, sitting around the dinner table, acting like everything's cool, when right in the midst of their own home, there is sinful rebellion against the values of the parents and the values of the Lord. They know how we feel. That makes it worse. That makes it worse. Because they do know how you feel, and they flaunt what you claim to believe. They flaunt it right in their face because they know you love them. We raised you better than that. Do what you're going to do. Do what you're going to. Well, that would be good, except the Lord said to have nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. And I'm going to step on some toes here. A lot of you got a lot of unfruitful works of darkness around you that you don't care about, you don't speak against. You just let it go on. Comes right into your house. You don't say anything about it. And it happens because we love our children more than we love the truth. Somebody say amen, because some of you can't because you got your thumb in your mouth.
Great.
Amen,
the truth is, right?
The truth is, right? I'm just telling you the truth. You love your children more than you love the truth. You do. You do. It's okay. I'm claiming guilt. I'm guilty. Hey, let's do this, Jared. Let me pull it up here. You know what? Here's what I said to my wife. Hey, Jared, I'm sorry. I'm all over the place, but stay with me. We're going to wind it up good. Go to Matthew 10. Matthew 10, verse 30. Matthew 10, verse 30. Pull that up here.
You pulling that up, let me share this. I'll tell you the truth, and you can bring any one of my young boys in on this. I've brought my kids out, and I've told them, I said, if there ever comes a day where you feel that serving God is not acceptable to you, I've told them, you can't live in my house. Say
amen,
already, no.
Brother. Amen, brother. Not only that, you ain't even visiting. Sorry. Have nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness. Have nothing to do with it. Boy, that's hard, isn't it? Oh, that's hard. That's love, baby. That's love. And so I was thinking yesterday about someone who's very close to me. Not one of my children, but close to me. She's an adult. And she's shacking up. Well, no, she's not shacking up. Well, yes, she is. Let me tell you this. Her boyfriend's milking the cow for free. You know what I'm talking about. She's an adult. And I said to my wife, can you explain to me, honey, why the next time I run into her, I don't stop her and say, hey, can I ask you something here, a question here, sweetie? Say to this person who I really love. Say to her, how much longer are you going to let that guy screw you without marrying him? You're not going to say that, are you? Well, why not? In fact, I ought to go over to him, over to her boyfriend, and grab him and say, hey, when are you going to start respecting her, put a ring on her finger, rather than treating her like some whore?
Amen, coach.
If I love the truth, and if I love her. But see, I can't do that. Why can't I do that? Well, you're not allowed to be judgmental. You've got to love them to the kingdom. They were raised in the kingdom. And what happened is they saw that when this attractive sin made itself available and they took a bite of the apple, that mom and dad simply said, not get out of here, but, oh, you shouldn't eat that. We told you that's not good. You shouldn't do that. But, oh, come on over for dinner on Sunday. And so then the next kid comes along. And they see what the older kid did and got away with it, and still mom and dad still love them. And so they came over and they decide they'll start shacking up. So now you got two of them shacking up. Well, they know where their parents stand, though. They know their parents are against it. But bring the grandchildren over with you. Oh, by the way, the grandchildren who don't have the same name, that have nothing to do with unfruit. Guys, this is love. I'm giving you love right now. Talking about love. Jared, let's go here, Jared. Big Rich, you know what I'm talking about. But the very hairs of your head, this is Matthew 10. Boys, I don't know what you're going to do with what I'm about to read. I don't know what you're going to do with it. But my buddy Chad Estes would tell me that your emotions will betray you.
Dave?
Yes.
Christians don't do it because it's not easy.
It's not easy, Rich. And they've been taught if they love, they accept and tolerate everything, even though that's not what the Bible says.
I say confrontation stinks, but sometimes it's required.
But the very hairs of your head are numbered. Fear ye not, therefore, you are more value than many sparrows. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, will I confess also before my Father, which is in heaven. So if your children are shacking up and you're not constantly drawing a line and saying, you ain't bring that into my house, you are not confessing your Father. Anybody think I'm wrong? Oh, just love them into the kingdom. They were in the kingdom. They've been loved out. They chose to go out. And not only that, as they were leaving, they poked you in the eye. Whosoever therefore shall confess me, verse 33, but whosoever shall deny me. How do you deny the Lord? The Lord's truth. He is truth. How do you deny him? You deny truth. But whosoever shall deny me before men, will I also deny before my Father, which is in heaven. Rich, if I'm reading this properly, this is a salvation issue. Would anybody take umbrage with that?
Dave.
If you deny me before men, I'm going to deny you before my Father in heaven. Yeah, Roger.
I was just going to say, I think it goes even deeper than, I believe that when you are in that unrepentant lifestyle, be it adultery, be it fornication, be it living with somebody, but it clearly says your eternity is in jeopardy. Where you spend eternity is in great jeopardy, because you're basically immorality that the Bible talks about, throwing your fist up at God and saying it's all right. And then when mommy and daddy say, well, we give it our blessing because they're engaged, they're pre-engaged. If they were to die tomorrow in that lifestyle, help me out here, but I think their eternity is in question.
Hey, Roger, can I zero in a little bit better? Hey, folks, I know you're going to get uncomfortable now. I'm talking to me. You mean to tell me you're going to let some dude be donking your daughter and he's not married to you, and you're going to welcome him in your house? Kind of quiet.
Hell no.
Here's a line for you, Coach. Here's a line for you.
Go ahead. Okay, go ahead. Hang on. I can't let this. I'm going to forget this. See, here's what the truth is. We hate others' sin more than we hate our own. Hard. Go ahead, Dale.
I tell my kids also, you know, don't let the door hit you with a good Lord split you.
Amen. Hey, think not I came to send peace on earth. By the way, your home is on earth. Don't know if you know that or not. Yeah.
Come back to my question. Is there eternity not in question if you are living in that lifestyle? I believe that Bible says that it is.
What does it mean to confess me before men? Just to stand and say, Jesus is the Lord. Jesus is the Lord. Is that it? I confess Jesus is the Lord. How many here think Jesus is the Lord? Oh, God bless y'all. God bless. No. You have to confess him before men. You have to confess him before people don't want to hear it. To confess means to tell the truth, the whole truth. And about where you stand and where he is. To confess means this is what I ought to be doing and I ain't been doing it. That's what it means to confess. Hey, fess up, buddy. Confess, buddy. So you're going to go confess before men the gospel of Jesus Christ and permit sin to enter your own home.
David, it also means telling that pastor you're lying.
It does mean that, Rich.
That's love. It's love.
Hey, Coach.
Yes.
Hey, Coach, here's the Greek word, and Flip Benham teaches on this. The word confess means homologeo, come in agreement with what God has said about you. You're wicked and you're a sinner.
There it is, man. When you confess, you come in agreement that you've been wrong. You confess, I was wrong, I did it. He confessed. Oh, you profess, you speak it, but you don't confess that you ain't living. Let me keep going here.
The dog returns to his own vomit.
Well, Dave, before you leave 33 there, I think it's something that, we have to remember that the church is telling everybody that God loves us unconditionally. So
the church is teaching that, Matt.
If you live a lifestyle. Yeah. They're not teaching it because 33 says that you either defend God or you offend God.
Very well said.
Offend God means that anything that you do, if you don't love God enough to go into the voting booth and vote for the right person, if you're voting your own wishes and your own desires rather than what God wants us to do, then you are offending God. I talked to somebody just the other day and I said, you're not a Christian if you go in that voting booth and you vote for somebody that offends God.
Amen.
Well, now I don't know if I would say that or not. Well, hell yes, you would. Let's get on that high horse that Obama said that we were on, doggone it, and let's ride that horse to the end and let's stop this crap where we say, well, you know, if we want to offend God. I was reading something this morning from one of the Catholics that was talking about a priest who is a sodomite, and he was putting the priest down, and in the same sentence he's saying, well, yeah, but we all know that God loves everybody unconditionally. Well, guess what? You're defending what that priest is doing. He's saying that, hey, if I want to be a sodomite, I can do it. I mean, that's what I learned down there at that gay pride parade. Everybody that came along said, you know what? God loves me unconditionally, so I can do anything I want to do. So
church taught them that. They learned that in church.
That's right. So
they
if I'm a kid,
from Christians.
If I'm a kid and I want to live with my girlfriend, God says he loves me anyway. Don't make any difference what I'm doing. Well, I tell you what.
That's right. Mom and Dad, you're just old-fashioned. You're those old-fashioned values. We went to Christian school, and we agree with you, Mom and Dad. But, hey, listen, we decide we're going to go another way. Oh, good. You coming over for Thanksgiving dinner?
That's why I keep on saying the church is not the church. We've been screwed.
Yeah. Well, I've got one of my children that I haven't talked to now for almost 3 years. Got two little grandkids out on the road that I haven't really seen for about 3 years, and that's because not of this particular issue, but because of something else that I've said, no, I'm going to follow God. I'm going to listen to what he wants me to do.
Amen.
And I'm not going to do what you want me to do because that's not in line with his word. So Sorry, that's the way it is.
Think not.
Gotta work it out.
Verse 34, think not that I've come to send peace on earth. I didn't come to send peace.
Absolutely.
I came from the sword. Hey, guys, I'm just reading the word here, despite what your pastors told you. For I've come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother. And when the daughter comes home and says, I'm going to shack up with so-and-so, brothers and sisters, there is a variance right there, baby. There is a variance. And the daughter-in-law against the mother-in-law, and the man's foes shall be they of his own house. And boys, he that loveth father or mother more than loveth me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than the truth is not worthy of me. And if you don't take up your cross and fight against that stuff, then you're not worthy to follow after me. And he that finds his life is going to lose it. And he that loses his life is going to, for my sake, going to find it. And he that receiveth you receiveth me. And he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. Boy, this is pretty clear. See, here's what's happened. Here's the point I'm trying to make. We have failed our children because we've taught them not the fear of God, but the love of God. We've taught them that God is love, not the fearing. And so they test us. Dad, I'm going to, hey boys, you know, I go back a few days. I had to knock the teeth. I knew some guy who's taking advantage of my daughters. I'd have knocked their stinking teeth out. I wouldn't have invited them over for Thanksgiving. So, well, she's an adult now. She gets to make her choices. Okay, well, she made her choices. She chose him over me. Does somebody think I'm crazy here? Am I misinterpreting what the love conquers hate? I'm just going to love them. Yeah, I'm going to love them so much I'm going to cut off that relationship. Say, you ain't doing that. I love you enough. I will not tolerate and watch you spiral into hell. I love you enough.
Amen.
First Corinthians chapter 5, brother. First Corinthians chapter 5, Paul came right out and he said, is this report true, what I'm hearing, that you got a man who's sleeping with his stepmother and yada, yada? He says, put that man out. Don't even fellowship with him. Don't break bread with him. Let Satan buffet his body that it might save his soul in the end.
Man, oh man, oh man. That ain't the message of the church, boys. And so what do we see? We see a mealy mouth, crumbling gospel that is open and tolerant to anything and everything that comes. You have pastors and churches right now who are debating over whether or not male on male butt sex. Those people are doing that are going to heaven. You know I'm telling you the truth. They're going to go to heaven. You have people in the church who are openly not married, sleeping together, and we say, oh, well, they're adults and they're really good people. Oh, they just serve all the, yeah, but they're in sin. And it's poisoning your church, whether you see it or not, whether you understand it or not, poisoning your church. Bells, this is so serious stuff. This stuff's serious stuff. Psalm 78, Jared. Psalm 78. Boy, no wonder they hate me. No wonder they hate me. I'll show you another one. Jared, let's scroll down. Verse 5, verse 4. We will not hide. Let's go verse 2. I will open my mouth in a parable, and I will utter dark sayings of old, which we've heard and known, and our fathers have told us. I told my daughters, save yourself from marriage. I told my daughters. Did they? I don't know. But they didn't flaunt it in front of me. If they were doing it, I didn't know about it. Which we've heard and known our fathers have told us, we'll not hide those things from our children. Showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength, his wonderful works that he hath done. We established a testimony in Jacob, and he appointed a law, which he commanded that our fathers would teach it to their children, that that generation to come might know that law, even the children which were born, would should be born, who would then arise and declare that law to their children, that they might set their hope in God, not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments, but not be like their daddy, stubborn and rebellious generation, generation that set not their heart right, and whose spirit was not steadfast of God. So we're in a situation here, fellas, girls, and we got some decisions to make and ain't gonna be good. And we're in the mess that we're in. You ready? Because we have tolerated what the Lord abhors.
I'm still waiting for my question to be answered.
Well, I think I told you 10 times. 10 times. No, they're not doing the will of the Lord. He will not confess them before their Father. He is the advocate. When you stand before God, Jesus is the advocate. He is the one who's going to say yes or no. And he just said, if you're doing that, I ain't confessing you before my dad. Does it say that or not?
Amen.
What's this?
Hey, coach.
Hang on, George, because there's one more thing. Then I'm going to stand before the Lord, and he's going to say, hey, why'd you let your daughter act like that? Why'd you put up with that in your house? Go ahead, George.
You know, coach, I think, too, a lot of it is, as parents, we can't allow a lot of the movies and the things that are on TV into our home. That sends the wrong message to the kids.
Well, George, it's like I wrote what I just wrote about the lying left. They tell us lies and we believe. The church has accepted the lies, not fought the lies, not countered the lies. When the legislators came along and the courts came along and said that a man could marry a woman, what was the response? What was the response of the church? Yeah, oh, well, what the Bible said was going to happen. It's everywhere you look. Rather than having a conniption, said, we're not paying any more taxes. We are not doing anything to serve this immoral government. We are in rebellion against this government that has called itself God. Amen or not? We acquiesce. So people are shacking up in church, having abortions in church, having affairs in church, and coming in there and feeling welcome. It's unbelievable, fellas.
Hey, coach.
We've lost the salt of Christianity because our kids have watched us, and we let them continue to do it. Yeah, go ahead.
Coach, listen, bro, I believe this is a great teaching tool, especially I know your heart is for men in the house. Numbers chapter 30 talks about the vows and the laws of vows. It says if a man makes a vow.
Numbers 30, Jared.
This is incredible. This is why Satan is dividing the man and pulling the man out of the African man family. Listen, this is why. Verse 2, it says, if a man makes a vow to the Lord and takes an oath to bind himself with a binding obligation, he shall not violate his word. Now jump down to 3. If a woman makes a vow to the Lord.
Hey, Dale, hang on. We're trying to get it up on the screen.
What is it?
Numbers
30.
Okay, Dale, go ahead.
Okay, so mine's a little different translation, but that's okay. It's still the same premise. It says, if a man makes a vow to the Lord or takes an oath to bind himself with a binding obligation, he shall not violate his word. Verse 3, if a woman makes a vow to the Lord and binds herself an obligation in her father's house in her youth, and her father hears the vow and her obligation by which she has bound herself, and her father says nothing, then all of her vows stand. But if her father should forbid her on the day he hears of it, then none of her vows or obligations stands. Wow. And it goes on to talk about the husband and the wife. When a man remains silent, he gives hearty approval. And everything is a spiritual thing, brothers. And so that's that whole chapter. I'm just going to end with that because it's a whole teaching on when a man says nothing. That is the authority.
Guys, listen. It's an authority thing. And I've adopted this in my own life. I love my wife. I love my wife like I love my own body. And my wife has a tendency sometimes to say what she thinks. You know what I'm talking about? Sometimes your thoughts break into words. And I will hear her speak damnation or negative things or something that's not true. And as the head of her, the head of the house, I step in right in. So I rebuke that in Jesus' name. That will not happen in Jesus' name. That's, see, if you sit by silently and you allow her to say that and you hear it, Adam stood by and watched Eve eat the apple. He was right there. He didn't step in and up in between her and say, hey, quit talking to my wife here, dude. Get out of here. No, he stood back and let it happen. And look at what grew as a result of it. It's an authority issue. And I don't care who you are and how old you are, you still are the authority in the life of your children. And your real test of your faith is going to come when they violate what they know you say is wrong. Your reaction then speaks volumes about your faith. I'm talking to me.
Dave.
Yeah.
Dave. So
yes.
Is your position the unbelieving person would not be invited into your home?
Not unbelieving. Rebellious. Rebellious. That's my position.
Your home.
That's what I think the word teaches.
Okay. Now, here's my other question. Because you're not answering my question. It's a yes or no answer. A couple who are not married, they die in an environment where they're not married, living with each other. Yes or no? Are they going to hell? Yes or no is my question. I'm not here about confessing in front of God or Jesus. I understand all that. Because my next question then would be, we have all unconfessed sin. So if we're going to deal with the sexual immorality, which I think is very explicit in the Bible, my first question is, yes or no, the couple that is living together, when they die, are they going to hell? Because we're not saying that to anybody.
I don't know why it doesn't seem like I've answered. Unconfessed sin.
Well,
they know it's sin. They've willfully violated the law of God and not asked for forgiveness.
Okay.
See, so it comes back to once saved, always saved. Do you think that once saved, you believe once saved, always saved? You believe you say a prayer when you're 13 that you can live like hell, and on your deathbed you're going to go to heaven because you say the prayer when you're 13? That, to me, that's foolishness.
Well,
Dave, so,
I don't believe. But there, then we've got to go to the other areas of sin, not just the sexual immorality, because we would all stand before God with unconfessed sin. So the question
is, faithful and just, forgive us of our sins.
How does God deal with our unconfessed sins when we meet him? With the unconfessed sin when we meet him.
I'll answer that as a pastor for you, Coach, if you'd like me to. I'll answer your first question. A couple who's living together in adultery or fornication, the Bible says, will not inherit the kingdom of God. God said no. As in, oh, we got some sin in our life, blah, blah, blah. Sin is not on a playing field level that every sin is the same sin. That's not true. Sin is a rebellion, missing the mark. And the Bible is clear, and it says there is sin that leadeth not unto death. Okay, and I'm not using that as your scapegoat answer that I can go ahead and sin freely. I'm just telling you, the Bible said there are sins that leadeth, there's sin that leadeth not unto death. But
Revelation 21:8. Go ahead. I'm sorry, Dale. I had to say that. Go ahead.
But the fact of the matter is that fornication and or adultery, and fornication, the Greek word for fornication is porneo, pornography, guys.
Thank God. Hugh Hefner's burning in hell.
You know, Dave, here's the problem. I think we're missing the mark. We keep looking at everybody else's sin. Will they get into heaven? God says have nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness. It's not about them. It's about us.
Amen.
I want to get into heaven. If they do or not. But I'm going to tell them the truth.
Amen.
Yeah. Corinthians says a man who judges himself will not be judged. That's when we do the self-examination. We homologeo, come in agreement that God says about us that we beat our chest. We don't stand on the street corner and say, I'm more righteous than them. We beat our chest and say, Lord, have mercy on me. I get that.
Revelation 21:7 says this. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. Now, what does it mean to overcome? It means that you're faced with the sin and you overcome it. You say no to it. You turn from it. You repent of it. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers and those who shack up with other people and the sorcerers and those who worship things other than God and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. So the question is shacking up outside of marriage fornication?
Yes.
Yes.
There's what's so hard? What is so hard about this?
But my point is, here's my point, Dave. I agree with you. That's what has to be said to them.
Yes!
When I would, when you have two guys butt-fucking, you got to tell them that's wrong. You got to tell them
that that's wrong. Yes! Not only that, you got to tell your daughter it's wrong! And then be able to say to your daughter, sweetheart, I love you more than you'll ever know. But don't you bring that whoremongering boyfriend over my house ever again. As long as he's diddling you without putting a ring on your finger, he is not welcome in my house.
Amen.
Amen.
It's hard, isn't it? That's why he said that your enemies would be those in your own household. Why are they enemies in your own household? Because you won't even speak the truth to them. So you're letting your love over, your love for your children is overriding your love for the Lord. Your love for the relationship with your children is overflowing, overriding your love of your relationship with the Lord. The Lord is not, the Lord isn't sitting up there saying, oh, Coach is such a loving guy. Cause look, he's loving his children while they sin. He is such a loving guy. He is such a reflection of me. That is a lie, man.
We put the second commandment over the first commandment.
We put the second commandment simple. Over the first commandment. You would love, we do.
We got to stop doing that. We got to figure out a way to get this word out to people and to really educate people and to shut the church down with their stupid things that they're saying. We got to figure out some way to get this done or JR there, he's going to be fighting the family thing forever and ever and ever. We got to change individual Christians and get them to see what in the world is going on because the church is just screwing people up. They're doing more damn brainwashing than anything else.
They're accepting.
Somehow or another, the group right here, Dave's got to get something put together to say, hey, we got to do something because that first commandment is run right into the ground.
Like Amen. Jared said to me, Coach, they'll send you $100,000 to go feed the people down in Texas, but they won't send you $10 to fight for unborn babies. Nothing could have put it more poignant than that.
Yeah.
We want to love people, not the Lord. We don't want to love those little children made in the image of God. Those are the Lord's children. The Lord's children. The church won't even speak about it. Those little babies created in the image of God. I said, you know what? I'd like to take up an offering. Could you send me $20 so I could get some abortion signs? They ain't gonna send me no money. Oh, Pedro down the road, he doesn't have any food. Oh, here comes the money. Yes or no?
Yep.
I just pray that the Lord would break our heart over what breaks his. It isn't. Our hearts are not broken over what breaks his. The Lord is, I'm gonna tell you this. The Lord is far more heartbroken over the slaughter of the innocent babies than he was that stinking hurricane. I can promise you. It ain't even close. Yeah, George.
You know, the Bible, like you guys have pointed out this morning, it's really clear on what will send you to hell and adultery and fornication, all that absolutely will.
Right there, man.
And so once that message is preached, then just like what happened in my life, you know, when people then understand that the spirit that lives within us, of the Holy Spirit, gives us the power to say no and overcome that, that's the victory part. But before you have the victory, they have to understand what will or won't send them to heaven or hell.
We do, George. Folks, I want you to end with this thought. I know me. Our little granddaughter is going to be 7 this weekend. Next week. In the next 5 days. And I was playing with her yesterday. Took her out to Wendy's. Just what a beautiful, innocent little child she is. Just golly. And if somebody ever tries to violate her in my presence, it's going to be ugly. It will be ugly. Why is it okay when she gets to be 18? Why is that now okay? That they have some slobbering other 19-year-old boy wants to violate my little granddaughter, and I know he's doing it, and I invite him to Thanksgiving dinner?
Ain't happening.
Hell no.
It is happening, though. It is happening.
Yeah.
The greatest expression of love is to defend the truth. God bless you. Ponder that one. I'll see you tomorrow.